Good evening. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Start in verse 7. Christ said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." He who is truth, Christ himself in the flesh, told his disciples and he told us it's expedient, highly beneficial for your soul, very necessary, of the utmost necessity for us that he go away. Christ came to do the Father's will. If they'd have known in full, they would have rejoiced, he said. But their hearts were full of sorrow because they hadn't been shown yet. But he had to go. He had to go to save his elect, the ones God chose in him before the foundation of the world. He had a work to do. He had to come in the flesh as a man, as the God-man, born of a virgin, born of the Holy Spirit of God, and he took on our nature, yet he was God. He was without sin. In our flesh, taking on our nature, our substitute. He came as our surety, as our substitute and our representative head. It was expedient that he go. He came because God's justice, it had to be satisfied. It had to be. Sins had to be paid for. And he is the mediator. Christ is the mediator of that covenant of grace between God the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit before time began. And he had to come. He had to shed his blood for remission of sins. He had to suffer, die as our substitute on that cross. It was expedient that he go to save his people, fallen in Adam, chosen of God and Christ before the foundation of the world, yet we're born with Adam's nature. We're at enmity with God. That God-hating nature. He's God's chosen sacrifice, sacrificial lamb, slain before the foundation of the world, that we might have life and faith in him. He had to come and obtain and accomplish our salvation. We couldn't do it ourselves. There's no way. By his perfect obedience to God's law, to God's commandments, that perfect righteousness that he brought in, to free us from the law of sin and death. He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. He had to go. It was expedient. He had to be glorified. He had to ascend back to the Father. After he justified us, after God raised him up from the dead, those sins are put away. That's why he rose again. That's your assurance. And that he ascended up to heaven, back from where he came, to be glorified, to have that glory that was with him, he and his Father before the world was. And God accepted his one-time offering, that atonement for all the sins of his elect. His blood purged those sins away. And God sees them no more. It was expedient that he go. And the Father set him on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. He had to be glorified. It's the will of God. It's for his glory. And put all things under him. And he must reign. He must reign sovereign over all till his enemies be made his footstool. And he sits on his throne and he intercedes for us. It's expedient that he go away. He lives to intercede for us. God sent the Comforter. He sent the Comforter, that promise to all that would believe on his name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was expedient that he go away. And just listen to how much God loves his chosen in Christ. If you turn over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 12:22 says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." It pleased the Lord to make you his people. What love from eternity to eternity. The Comforter, God the Holy Spirit, doesn't leave us to guess. It tells us that's the Holy Spirit of God. I and my Father are one, and we will make our abode in you. The whole Godhead resides in Christ Jesus bodily. Christ had to go to fulfill the Father's will and be exalted, glorified, to send the Comforter to us who would apply that blood that Christ shed on that cross for remission of your sins and apply it to your heart, your new heart that God gave you, to perform that work, that to apply that blood to our consciences, to quicken us, to give us life, spiritual life that we didn't have, that we're dead, we're born dead in trespasses and sins, and to give us that God-given faith, that true faith that looks to Christ Jesus only, the object of that faith, to believe on his Son that he sent, and that what he did and what he accomplished on that cross is enough. It's enough for his elect, that we might receive, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Over in Ephesians 1, verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. There's your faith. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, that promise that he promised to Abraham and all his seed, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It was expedient that he go away. The faithfulness of Christ, the inward working of grace by his Holy Spirit, that creates a new creature in us. That new creation in you. He creates a new creation in you, revealing Christ in you, the only hope of glory, to be the predestinated sons of God. It pleased God to make you his people. Can you see why it was expedient that he go away? Why it was expedient for us? If so, it is by the free and sovereign electing grace of God and his Son, Jesus Christ our Savior. And it is by faith and life in him, given to you by that inward working of the grace of God, the Holy Spirit in you, that promise to all that would believe in him, all of his elect, salvation is of the Lord. And it is in Christ Jesus, the object of that faith alone, that he is our salvation and he is our hope. It was expedient for us that he go. Verse 8. And when he is come, the Comforter, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. God did not leave us comfortless. He did not leave us to ourselves. He did not leave us alone. I and my Father will make our abode in you. I will send the Comforter. The Comforter will reprove. He will convict. He will convince the world of sin. He will reprove, convict, and convince you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Christ said in John 15, just over, on verse 24, Christ said, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You have the Holy Spirit of God. If you're God's elect, you're God's called, he's reborn you again, made that new creation in you. You have Christ in you. You have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God in you. He's given you his nature. And it's without sin. It can't sin because it's of God. You're taught of God. He testifies of me. He came in the flesh, but not all believed. John 1:11 says, He came unto us, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's that new creature in you, born of the Spirit of God, created in His image. Verse 9 says, Of sin, because they believe not on me. Unbelief is a sin. Not believing that the Son of God, not believing on Him, not believing that He is the one that God sent, that He is the Messiah, that He came to save His people. That Christ Jesus, to not believe that He is the Son, the only begotten Son of God the Father, is sin. He and the Father are one, and he that believeth shall not be ashamed. Galatians 3:22 tells us, But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. We fell in Adam when he ate of that tree that God forbade him to eat from. He disobeyed God with his eyes wide open. He was made upright, but he willingly chose to disobey God. And you and I were in him. He was our representative head. When he loved the creation more than he loved the Creator, he loved himself more. Disobeyed God. He made us all sinners. And we're born with that same nature that was in him. That's what you're born with. That God-hating nature. We came from the womb speaking lies, God tells us. We are nothing but sin. We are hopeless. We are spiritually dead. Dead in trespasses and sins, helpless, powerless. Satan has his way with us, and we love him. We go right along with him. The wrath of God is on our heads in your natural state that you're born into. The wrath of God is upon you, and we deserve it. We deserve that wrath of God because we sinned against him. We rejected his Son. We were in Adam. We did exactly what Adam did. We willingly will disobey God. We love ourselves and the creation more than we love the Creator. We sinned against God Almighty. We ruined ourselves. Adam ruined himself. And we have that same nature. We have ruined ourselves. Do you see the need for that sinless substitute that God chose? And be the sacrifice to be your substitute before the world was. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loved you. He put you, he chose you in his son. He sanctified you in his son. He trusted in his son as your surety, as your substitute. Do you see the need for the Son of God? Praise God, he chose a people, or there wouldn't be any saved of Adam's race. Before the world was, and there is no merit on our part in any way, we did not earn anything to be pleasing to God. It's not because of anything we did. We weren't even born yet. He chose a people. He chose us. Not because of what we would do, we'll do, because everything we do is sinful. He created a new creature in us, created in the image of his son. Christ came in the flesh. He humbled himself and took on our nature. He came as a servant to do his Father's will. And that is to save and redeem all the elect that he gave him in the beginning. He came to shed his blood for forgiving, for the forgiveness of your sins, for every sin of all of his elect that he chose in Jesus Christ, to redeem his elect with his own blood. You that are called of God by his grace in Jesus Christ, do you see your need for Christ Jesus our Lord? Because without him there is no hope. Only God reveals that to you. Only God reveals to you that you are a sinner and that you need the righteousness of God. You need his son. You need his redeeming blood to take away your sins. And he shows us in the face of Jesus Christ, his son. He quickens you by his Holy Spirit. The faith and life that he gives, it's expedient for you. It's a great benefit to your soul. It is necessary for your salvation. Christ, by himself, purged his elect's sins, put them away, that God sees them no more. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made that righteousness, his righteousness of God in him. Christ crucified, his blood, his sacrifice of himself appeased God's holy justice in our room instead. God accepted his sacrifice for our sins. He is that propitiation, the atonement, Those that believe not are condemned already. They're already condemned. God doesn't tempt you with sin. You're born loving it and hating Him. And for those that do believe on Him, you receive the promise. You receive His Holy Spirit in you. God's Comforter in you. And this is how He comforts us. He convinces us of sin. Our sin against God. He convinces you of Christ's righteousness. That you have none of your own. You need His. And of the judgment. Because He puts your sins away. With His obedience to God. His faithfulness to Him. You don't have to fear God's wrath anymore. Verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. When Christ was raised again from the dead, He arose victorious and successful. Our sins were put away by His blood, by His sacrifice, and His one-time sacrifice to God for the remission, for the forgiveness, for the atonement of sins, to appease His holy justice in His body. In His body He bore all the punishment, all the sin, all the guilt, all the shame that we deserved. In His body, we couldn't have done it. We couldn't have bore it. It took a God-man to do it. And that was ordained before the foundation of the world. God had chosen Him to be your substitute. God was satisfied. His justice was appeased. Christ accomplished our salvation. And He ascended back into heaven. And He sent the Comforter. He was glorified. And He sent the Comforter. The Holy Ghost showed He was exalted. Showed that you were justified by His righteousness. Glorified above all by the Father. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us it is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Our faith is weak. It's a God-given gift. It is precious. It is wonderful. But it's weak. Our faith looks to the faith of Jesus Christ, the one who came, the one who died. He's the object of our faith. He's our hope. We've never seen Him. Yet we believe Him by faith. We believe that He did come. That He did fulfill the Father's will. That God was satisfied with His substitutionary death on that cross. And His blood was shed for us. That's our hope. That on resurrection, when He comes back, when we die, we will be with Him. Where He is. And that one day He will return and gather all in His name. That's our hope. He is our hope. He is our faith. Where he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He bruised his heel, but he crushed Satan's head. It was ordained of God before the world was. The justifying righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His perfect obedience to the will of God. His perfect obedience to the law of God. The law is not for a righteous man. The law cannot make you just. The law cannot make you anything other but guilty. The law was put there to make sin more sinful. To seem more sinful. To show you that you can't follow it. You can't obey it. You've already broken it before you were born. In Adam. You want to try to present yourself holy and righteous or just before God. There's some way you want to follow the law and obey it. That in your righteousness and your works, that you can please him. That you can obtain forgiveness for sin. In your flesh, in your fleshly nature. It's no way. It's no way. No way. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Your works of your hands are an abomination to God. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justifications. Again, Christ, perfect obedience to God to death on the cross. His perfect righteousness. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He followed laws, God's law, perfect. In your room instead, he established it. He obeyed God in our room instead. We kept the law. We're dead to the law. We died. We no longer are under the law. We no longer serve the law. Christ has made us free. From the curse of the law being made a curse for us on because he hung on a tree. It was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We were bound up in it under the law. Said, you're under the law, you're bound to obey every precept of it. And you can't do it. Can't do it before you even start. But Christ came. And he obeyed God's law for his elect. Perfectly. Perfect righteousness. Perfect obedience. Do you see your righteousness as filthy rags? Do you see your need for the righteousness of Christ Jesus? That he is your only pardon for sin. That he is your only hope and only acceptance before God. He is your only righteousness before God. And God only reveals himself in his Son. And his Holy Spirit, that comforter that he gives us to each believer, he's the one that convinces you of this. If you see Christ's righteousness as the only righteousness that you have, It was revealed to you by God. That Holy Spirit in you, teaching you, comforting you. There is a righteousness, and it's Christ's righteousness. We can rest in His righteousness. Romans 10:11. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. In Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How can God look at you and still be holy and just and righteous? Because of His Son. He chose you in His Son. If you're in His Son, He sees His Son when He looks at you, and you're as righteous and holy as Jesus Christ Himself. You believe that He's enough? He satisfied God. Ought to be enough for us. Salvation is all of God. Christ is enough. God's grace is sufficient for His elect. Christ is all you need. Verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Only God can reveal His word. When Christ arose, when He arose from that grave, He destroyed the works of Satan. Those that were bound, He loosed you. You're no more under the dominion of sin, of Satan, of death, of the law. You're no more under it. No more under the curse of the law. When Christ died, we were crucified with Him. He's our substitute, our surety. That blood was shed for you. And when He died, we died in Him. That old man was nailed to the cross with Him. We're dead to sin. We're dead to the law. He was buried. And on the third day, according to the Scripture, He arose again. And when He arose, that means the sin was put away. It means we have hope in the resurrection, that He will raise us from the dead. When He calls you out of your darkness, He causes His light, that Christ Jesus, to shine His light into your heart, your new heart. His word, Jesus Christ, He sends a preacher. Preach His gospel. And gives you ears to hear and gives you life and faith to believe on the Son of God. And you're under grace. There's a promise that He gave. that he would send his comforter. That comforter's in you. God's in you. He's teaching you. He's showing you all things of Christ. He crushed Satan's head, destroyed his works. Look here in John chapter 8. Go back just a little bit here. John chapter 8, verse 42. Prince of this world is judged. Satan. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, he's talking to those Pharisees again. If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Ye are not of God. The prince of this world be judged. And Christ is coming again. Look over in Matthew. Look over in Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Look on down to verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Then on down in 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The judgment of God. In our natural state, the wrath of God is upon us. It's on our heads. In Christ, we don't have any fear of the judgment. Why? Because Christ came. God came, manifest in the flesh, and put your sins away. Revelation 20, verse 10. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, and which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death And the hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. Look what God has delivered you from. Look what you deserved. Look what you deserve. God, by His free, sovereign, electing grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, has saved you from His wrath. Your sins have been paid for. Your righteousness is the righteousness imputed to you. Jesus Christ's righteousness by the grace of God. Has His Holy Spirit convinced you of these things? In Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen up here now. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor either can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But what does it say next? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Remember that promise? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, I'll send Him, and He'll dwell in you. Me and my Father will make our abode in you. Creation. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. There is a new creature in you that does not belong to this world. It does not belong. There is a creature in you, Christ revealed to you, the hope of glory, a new creation in you that loves Him by faith. It doesn't sin. Yeah, that old nature's still there. It is, and it's wars. We can't do what we want. It's sinful. It sins continually. Anybody says they don't have sin in them, they're a liar. They make God a liar. God don't lie. But in you, created in you, is a new creature that belongs to God, belongs in heaven with Him. There's your hope. That faith that we have, that He gives us to believe in His Son, that He accomplished our salvation, that His sacrifice is enough, His blood shed was enough to appease the holy justice of God and put away all the sins of His elect forever. Forever. Bow down to Him, worship Him. Confess. We're in the Spirit. We're not in the flesh. Put off the things of the flesh. You heard what the flesh, to be fleshly minded is. It's death. You're free. God has set you free in Christ. You're free to serve Him, to love one another. Something you can't do, something I can't do in my flesh. I can't love you. I don't know how. Don't love myself. Don't love God. But in Him, He's created a new creation in you. After it's created in Christ Jesus. Sinless. Loves God. Loves His people. Put on the new man. Put off the old man. He's giving you the ability, the desire. We're His workmanship. He who begun a good work in you will continue it. There's a new creation in you, a new creature, born after the will of God, born after the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? Look how He comforts His people. Look how He comforts you. Walk in His Spirit, beloved. Christ is all you need. Rest in Him. He says, rest in Him. Cease from your works. There's nothing you can do. It's all been done. Christ did it all. There's nothing left to be done. Strive to enter at rest. Study. Study His Word. Hear His gospel being preached. Worship Him. Love Him. Adore Him. Pray God to show you more and more and more, and He will. He will. He says you pray. You pray in My name to the Father after His will. And He'll give it to you. Pray in My name. He'll give it to you. He's made Him our wisdom, our sanctification. We're holy in Him. Our righteousness, His righteousness. And redemption. He put our sins away. We can cry, Abba, Father. He's our Father. We can go to Him. And we can ask in Christ's name, before His throne, at His feet. Christ sits on His throne. And we can ask in His name, and He'll give it to us. He's already given us all we'll ever need. All! He's our inheritance. We're His. His inheritance. And He didn't leave anything for you to do. He did it all for you. All in Christ. All in Christ. He made us one with God in His Son. And He put His Holy Spirit, that Comforter, in us to teach us, to comfort us, to guide us, to convict, to convince, to reprove us of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. He sits on His throne. His work is done. It's finished. He ever lives to intercede for us as our high priest, as our advocate to the Father, as our mediator. And He's coming again for us. Until then, He sent us His Holy Spirit. He sent us the Comforter. Praise God. Praise His holy name. Hope and pray the Lord will comfort you with His Word.